was proof that radio guys talk over each other in all languages, including Korean. That was the Korean call of last night's Knicks-Pacers game, the Halliburton game tire that could have been a game winner in his mind but wasn't because he didn't get back behind the line. And the Pacers come back from 14 down, 138-135, get the win in overtime. Here's a crazy number before I know Ted Johnson's going to provide some numbers on Halliburton, who is no longer overrated. prior to last night, teams that trailed by 9 or more points in the final minute of the fourth quarter or overtime in the playoffs were 0 and 1,414 since 1998. Now it is 1 and 1,414 thanks to the Pacers, who
unbelievable.
They're living the life. I don't know when it strikes midnight. I don't know where it ends, but they are bringing fun to the Eastern Conference Finals and Indiana right now.
I thought they were fun last year against the Celtics.
Yeah,
I
mean, scrappy, yeah.
Okay, you'd say, okay, defense optional. All right, and maybe that's still the case. But I mean, they put up, 138 points and only shot Celtics, you listen, 37 threes. Not 60.
How many?
37.
But they did have a guy who hit 8 of 9 of his threes.
Yeah. No, they were pretty good percentage. They were 40%.
Wait, Ted. How many threes?
37.
How did they score any points in their basketball game?
Crazy,
if they did that.
It's insane, right?
That's a half for the Celtics.
The Celtics actually missed more 3-pointers in Game One of the Eastern Conference Semifinals than the Knicks took last night.
Yeah, a lot. The Pacers are in the Eastern Conference Finals. They ranked 23rd this year in 3-point shots. Mm. So. You know, they didn't rank one in 3-point shot. They ranked 23rd and have one of the best offenses. Again, they're not the most defensively minded team, but they can score points and they don't chuck up a bunch of threes doing it. One crazy stat nug for you. Tyrese Halliburton, is now 12 of 14 on shots to tie or go ahead in the final 2 minutes of this season.
I believe that's called
12
clutch.
Of 14.
86%.
That's insane.
Derek Jeter wasn't even that clutch.
Six out of every
Tom
seven.
Tom Brady wasn't even that clutch.
Almost.
Isn't that crazy?
Not quite.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
And he's the most overrated player in the NBA, according to
supposedly,
their surveys.
Supposedly. So
they're a fun team. You know, we talk about it. Neesmith, you and I have talked about it, Ted, about how he was a first-round pick here, was supposed to be a sharpshooter, supposed
14th
to be the best
overall
shooter.
Pick, best shooter
thing.
In the draft.
He wasn't that. He became this scrappy try-hard, and then last night he reverted to looking like the best shooter in the draft.
8 of 9 from the three, and just real quick on Aaron Neesmith. So his last year here, so he only played here 2 years, 2021 to 2022. He was a 27% shooter from three.
Yeah,
so not too good. This year he's a 43% shooter from three.
But
so
he's massive uptick.
Took some time. You can sit there and go, do I need to be mad at? At Brad, it wasn't Brad. No, it was
Udoka.
No, Danny Ainge. You can't.
There's a lot of water under the bridge.
It felt like that was the right move at the time, right? Yeah. I mean, Aaron, it just didn't look like Aaron was gonna figure it out, and so, I'm not mad at Danny Ainge for not seeing maybe this coming, but. I don't know. The playoffs have been phenomenal. It is a little bit kind of like, the Celtics are just they're better team than, I'm sorry, the Pacers and the Knicks.
They should be in the finals.
And you go, is this a system problem? It's not a talent problem. It feels like a philosophical system issue with the Celtics. They won it last year. Everybody now knows what they're trying to do, so they defend them differently. You saw what happened this year, and now you have two teams that I think aren't better than the Celtics talent-wise playing in the Eastern Conference Championship.
So I think as much as Tyrese Halliburton got called the most overrated player in the NBA, I think the Pacers may be the most underrated team because while the Celtics did sweep them in last year's Eastern Conference Finals, they won the four games by a total of
29 points.
Yeah. Like not,
I've already looked, 29
not
points.
Like every game.
Everything was close.
Was pretty nip and tuck without like clutch shots by Jalen Brown, Derek White,
first
and some
game
crazy
went to
good
overtime.
Crazy good defense from Drew Holiday. Like that goes 2-2, could have been 3-1 the other way. Who knows which way it would have gone. So I think the Pacers, as people on the broadcast networks today are asking, is this a team of destiny? Perhaps. I don't know. It seems a little hyperbolic.
It's
but
a team destined to lose to the Thunder in the finals.
We are underrating them significantly because that's a these playoffs too.
Finals, though.
It would be the most fun one, I think, of all the variables and permutations for sure. But these playoffs are going to be remembered not for like the great basketball, but for being the most statistically anomalous playoffs I think we'll ever imagine. Like, how the hell the Knicks did that two games in a row, God only knows. How the Pacers did that against the Cavs,
yep,
and now pulling that off last night. Go back and watch the last 2 minutes again, and you're like, no, there's no way they're going to – they don't blow it this time. You know how every time you watch Dan Conley's kickoff return in 2010, you say, this time he's taking it to the house? Every time you watch these last 2 minutes, you're like, there's no way they blow it. And they do every
time.
It's
a movie. These are like the movie sequences where you're like, if it were a movie, you're like,
that's right.
I don't know. Yeah. In a minute, I don't know if that really happens, but it really happened. And I love trying to buy into the Team of Destiny stuff like that. It's just the 0-1 Patriots, like just something came together in the right combination and it clicks and unlocks success. I'm rooting for the Pacers. I absolutely am. I've been a Miles Turner fan for a long time. I don't know how you can't root for Halliburton. I like the choke thing.
I loved it.
I like it in a sense anywhere, but obviously for the Pacers, Reggie Miller, the Knicks, like the whole backstory of it. Well, wasn't quite perfect because he thought the game was over.
It was not perfect. You're right.
And he kind of, I think, was like, uh-oh.
When he was doing it, I was like, oh, it's freaking awesome. But it's, you just tied the game, bro.
Right.
You didn't win the game with that shot.
Right.
No. And then I think the Knicks scored like the first 5 points in the overtime.
Right. But they get the job done. So history will show that it was appropriate. Because either way, even if the Knicks won in overtime, you still gagged away an incredible late game situation. Whether you salvage it in overtime, you gagged away that game.
Yep.
And that's what is a little, it's one of those things, is it good basketball or bad basketball that I'm watching by teams like the Celtics to gag away leads against the Knicks? The Knicks to gag away a lead against the Pacers. Yep. Do I give the Pacers credit or do I blame the Knicks?
It's a little bit of both, but I probably give more credit to the Pacers.
Okay.
Because not only was it just, I mean, they made their shots when they had to, but there was some good coaching in there. And this is where you kind of can maybe highlight coaching. A lot of people think that coaching isn't important in the NBA. I would beg to differ, especially in the playoffs. That challenging that out of bounds player, that it was a foul on the Pacers player, and Rick Carlisle challenged it, and it was an out of bounds. The ball went to the Pacers, and so then they scored 3 points to shorten their deficit from 5-2 to then get the shot Halliburton made to tie it to go into overtime. So great coaching, great gutsy shots at the end. I think it was more of, it was a little bit of a choke job, it was, but man, those guys made tough shots when they need to, and really good coaching at the end as well.
Where do we think this is going to go? Because the very end was very interesting. And Stiz, I think we have this audio from Stan Van Gundy at the very end of the game when there, I believe, is 0.2 seconds on the clock, and the Pacers are inbounding, and he's like, you don't even... If I were this guy, you know, I'd just hand it to the guy in the Knicks. So I think it was Karl-Anthony Towns. Mm-hmm. And to me, there's a little something there that can go over to the next game.
Like, oh,
and we're
for
talking,
sure.
So Stiz, roll this audio and then we'll touch on it.
You can literally take the ball out of rounds right now if you're Indiana and hand it to the guy. You can hand it to Karl-Anthony Towns. He can't shoot it with 0.2.
0.3.
I would just hand Karl-Anthony Towns the ball right here. Well, I would.
You were just throwing salt in the wound here, Coach.
I'd just give him the ball. That's exactly what he did.
And Towns fired it.
Oh, yeah.
And the game is over, and Indiana has won coming back.
He handed it to Karl-Anthony Towns, who just chucks it down court.
I think Adoraj was off doing something else.
So there wasn't enough time, but as Reggie Miller said, that's Reggie Miller, right, chiming in there,
yes,
who said,
yep,
you're adding salt to the wounds. So the Knicks just gagged it away, and I think it's good too, because I think that has carryover. And it's not like I have great rooting interest in this series. I'm rooting for the Pacers, but if the Knicks use that as some motivation and that fuels even more whatever angst
like
in this series.
Because you're
being a dink.
Oh, it's
like,
super dinkish.
No doubt.
But a lot of times you see guys inbound the ball off another guy's back or leg or something.
If I were Karl-Anthony Towns and I knew the situation, I would have thrown it back at him. Absolutely would have thrown it back at him. Now maybe we got a melee, who knows. But that's good because these two teams need that because they don't have the biggest stars. I mean, Jalen Brunson's a big star and he scored 40 whatever.
A forgettable 43.
Well, Kat and him had like 75, 80 points.
Yep, they did,
it
yes.
wasn't enough.
As they should have. Never had that game against the Celtics, by the way, the two of them.
78 points,
but,
yep.
Yeah, but this series needs that little extra, I feel like, to get the casual viewer. You know, to get, because a lot of people around the country are probably like, Knicks, Pacers. I'm not really overly excited about that series.
If you bring it back to the Celtics, like, how does this game, when you watch that game and I think about the Celtics, I just sit there and go, okay, the Celtics have more talent than both of these teams. It's the system that is flawed. The Celtics shooting threes is the problem. Or there's in their analytics. I mean, did you see the Pacers doing the Hacker Robinson last night? Were they doing any of that BS?
No.
That the Celtics were obsessed doing? And when they were doing it, thinking that they were taking the Knicks out of their game, when maybe they were really taking themselves out of the game by doing that, you didn't see Carlisle doing that kind of stuff.
Is it the system or is it the mentality? Is it more of the style or the mental way they play? Because the Pacers go at you. They're fighters.
But one leads to the next. The system leads to the soft,
okay, that
the
might
soft
be.
Style.
Right, because I was looking at it. One of the Twitch chatters brought up that Halliburton shot 12 threes, Nesmith shot 9. So 21 of their threes were those two guys, and then it's just like a sprinkling of everybody else. So this isn't the everybody gets to shoot 7 threes kind of Celtics performance. There is a juxtaposition here comparing these teams. I would also compare the expectation. I don't think the Pacers have an air of entitlement to any one of them. They're all these, like, guys that we know and have had some nice years in different spots that are all this collection of almost like the Expendables.
Oddly,
they're the
playing Expendables. Together as a team.
Yes.
Isn't that weird how that dynamic works?
Playing as a team, playing scrappy, playing till the end. Right. Now, they do have an opponent that probably, but you know what? They did it to the Cavs, so screw that. And they might have done it to the Celtics. As much as we think the Celtics would have won this series with the Pacers, or as much as I think even the books had it, if the Celtics advanced, they were going to be favored over the Pacers. Just because they believe that doesn't mean it was going to happen. And the Pacers got a little something-something. And also, you don't luck into the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years in a row.
No.
That's not luck. That's not just like, huh, we really, really got fortunate that played our way. No. They're a pretty good basketball team with pretty good talent and a pretty good coach that you put it all together is good.
It's one of these teams that you look at and you go, man, is it really going to fit? You know, Siakam with Turner and Halliburton and I don't know. You throw in Aaron Nesmith and you think, how's this all going to come together? And it has. I mean, they they've put up points, and you know what? I that's where I kind of credit the coaching. You know, I think Rick Carlisle's a good coach. He was in Dallas. He is here. He can take pieces and he can see how they fit, and he knows what buttons to push. He can coach his ass off at the end of games, coming out of timeouts. I mean, you're telling me part of the success for Tyrese Halliburton, who's 12 of 14 on shots that tie or go ahead in the final 2 minutes of just this season, you don't think some of those plays were drawn up by Rick Carlisle? They got him open shots?
Sure.
Of course there were. So
absolutely.
The coaching is something to highlight for this team as well when you're talking about the Pacers.
You never asked your question.
What's the question?
You had a question before we came back from break.
Gosh darn it. Cementhead Ted forgot what my question was.
So Halliburton is clutch.
There
Jason
you go.
Tatum.
Oh, well, I didn't say that
question.
On air. I didn't say
that. I
on
know.
Air. You're bringing that out. I don't want it to phone line.
It's a question.
What was the question?
You didn't answer it, so I don't know.
Okay, how about that? Who would you rather have in the last 2 minutes of a game, Tyrese Halliburton or Jason Tatum?
And I like how you phrased it. Halliburton in the last 2 minutes.
Halliburton
the whole game.
All day.
Jason Tatum.
I'd take Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum's a better all-around player, but I got in trouble earlier in the year when I said Donovan Mitchell was more clutch than Jason Tatum, and then Scal agreed with me. Just because you're clutch doesn't mean you're overall the better player, right? There's clutch guys that just, they come up big at the end, but they need other people to help them get to the end. They're not good enough to carry to that point.
Brunson's more clutch than Tatum.
He was Mr. Clutch this year.
Yes, Mr. Clutch. So,
and he's also...
But that's the quality that we here in Boston value, I think, more than anything, to be honest with you.
Oh, David Ortiz, Tom Brady, Larry Bird, clutch guys that can hit you that game winner, that game tying, whatever, make the play with the game. Edelman, drop. Oh, last drive, catch, right?
That's right.
Like, that's an example. Julian Edelman's had a ton of drops in his career that we don't remember.
Big reason why we look at Jason Tatum the way we do. Because if he had the numbers that Tyrese Halliburton, we'd look at Jason Tatum totally different, I think.
Yes.
If he was more clutch at the end of games.
Right. I mean, and then we had last year's example that Brown was actually the more clutch guy when the game was on the line. The corner three in Indiana for to go to overtime.
Oh, no, Jalen Brown.
It was absolutely Jalen Brown.
Not game four.
And then Jason Tatum scored like 8 points in overtime.
Right.
But it's like, you wouldn't have had that shot if the clutch guy didn't get you to overtime, so you could be the scorer. So, no, that's a good question. I didn't mean to bring your...
Okay.
And I didn't...
Right. I just don't need it today. I'm good.
I'm just, you know...
Any other secrets you want to bring out, Andy?
Yeah, really? Thanks.
I don't think we have any. We don't have secrets.
Anything else that was shared in the minivan in Green Bay that you want to dig up?
That thing you said...
Should we do a sideshow Pacifica talk?
No, when he took out the latex gloves in the Pacifica, that was two stories.
You were like, whoa, we're not that good of friends.
We're not that good of friends. No.
Cold finger.
Any party or whatever? No, we're not going there. 617-779-7937. Are you interested in these Eastern Conference Finals? But up next, we have a bigger question. We put it on the poll today. Who in the last calendar year has been the most overrated Boston sports team? Was it the Celtics all year? Is it the Patriots right now? I might have voted for that if I could vote in my own poll. Red Sox to start the year, or those Bruins who once upon a time people told me they were going to be cup contenders, the most overrated team in Boston sports. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But the never overrated Dan Ball has your trending first.